time in human history when man was without light and without hope. There was a time when he shouldered the weight of his own sin, a time when death had the final victory. But a single event was to shatter the fixed course of the universe. It would split the destiny of humankind in two, darkness and light, death and life, sin and redemption. It would become the compass by which all time would be measured and marked. BC, AD, before and after, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Crucified, but I am innocent of this man's blood.
Now storm falling. that you would stretch your arms and go around the world. And why? For me, what a Savior's cry we heard.
Temporal or measured. As the instrument of the Lord's death, the cross is the most despised of earthly objects. As the bridge toward salvation, it is the most sacred. But on that perfect Friday, long ago, Calvary's witnesses could not see the future glory of the cross. Only the presence of violence and agony. Friday and Sunday, somewhere beyond the shadows of God above and a garden tomb, a light awaited the dawn.
Yeah.
the mountains, behind locked doors, and on open roads, to a solitary disciple, and to 500 believers. Time and again, Jesus appeared to the faithful. Yet, it was a settling time for those that claimed Jesus Christ's name. They had knockingly wondered when the kingdom Jesus had so spoken of would be established. But 40 days after he was risen from the grave, Jesus appeared to his chosen on the Mount of Olives and told them,
"You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness the ends of the earth."
And Jesus lifted his hands and blessed them, and they worshiped him.
Thank you.
and resurrected to new life. He ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father. The ascension of Jesus Christ marked the conclusion of his personal ministry on earth in his bodily presence. The ascension also signaled the passing of Christ's continuing earthly work into the hands of his followers. Impassioned, but lacking direction, he awaited the fulfillment of Jesus' final promise, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, by whose power they would bear witness to the ends of the earth. On the 50th day after Sabbath of Passover week, the day of Pentecost arrived. Many of Jesus' followers were gathered together. And looking to the last place they had seen their Savior as he left them, they lifted their eyes to heaven.
Raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. Repent, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let it rain.
fill me up with life anew, so I may live the way you love me, and I would do what you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is clean and pure, until my soul reflects your mercy with a faith that's strong and sure. Breathe on me.
Apostles' teaching, and to fellowship and prayer. They sold their possessions and gave to anyone in need. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But the high priest and his associates were filled with jealousy. The apostles were arrested and flogged in order never to speak the name of Jesus again. Yet they rejoiced, now having been counted worthy of suffering. Among these witnesses was Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders amongst the people. Opposition amongst the Jewish leadership arose, and Stephen was seized and brought before Sanhedrin. False witnesses accused Stephen of manufacturing transgressions, and the high priest asked him,
"What do you say? Are these charges true?"
To which Stephen replied,
"You stiff-necked people, you are just like fathers, resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predict the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him."
When they heard this, they were furious. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit,
hold this sin against them.
Persecution and martyrdom marked the early footsteps of Jesus' followers. Yet they knew less than 1 year prior the true battle had already been waged and the victory secured. The young church's struggle, girded by the might of a cross, its despair obliterated by the joy of an empty tomb. Its mission empowered by the thunderous storm of the Holy Spirit. Even in their darkest hour, Jesus' parting words burned within their hearts.
I have chosen you in the world. This is why the world hates you. Take heart. I have overcome the world.
Jesus is the truth.
out of the fledgling body of believers held fast against the onslaught of persecution, their greatest test lay before them. A young Pharisee had officiated at the stoning of Stephen. His name was Saul, zealous in his mission to preserve his way of life and the traditions of his fathers. Saul had vowed to destroy the threat posed by the Church of Jesus Christ. On the day of Stephen's death, great persecution began. There was no sanctuary for those that claimed Jesus' name. On the streets, in the courtyards, even in the privacy of homes, men and women were dragged off and thrown in prison. Though so great was his rage, Saul had gone to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, hoping to arrest Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem. The journey to Damascus was long and difficult. After many days, Saul and the men that accompanied him approached the city. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying,
"Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?"
"I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
When Saul stood up, he was blind. He was led into Damascus, and for 3 days he did not eat or drink. Then a disciple named Ananias was sent by the Lord to restore Saul's sight. Scales fell from his eyes, and Saul, at long last, could truly see. Before him lay a cross, an empty tomb, and a road that stretched to the farthest corners of the world.
I will go. Hear me, all of you who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, your Lord and mine.
His sight restored, his vision clear. Paul left Damascus and entered the synagogue, where he began to preach. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem? Hasn't he come to take more prisoners?"
Wait. I know you've heard of my previous way of life, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. But then God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace and revealed his Son to me. And now it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
From that day forward, the gospel of Jesus Christ was taken to all lands and preached to all people.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, between man and woman, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You are God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord.
And the voices of the apostles join the centuries of believers to come. Together, we proclaim one affirmation of faith. It reaches from the cross and the tomb, to these four walls and the faithful gathered here today, to the very throne of heaven.
Beloved, by this gospel, you are saved. Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried, he was raised on the third day.
Press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward.